220 years ago, the first fleet sailed into Botany Bay. There were 11 ships carrying convicts to a brand new penal colony on the other side of the world, and it always strikes me as one of the most extraordinary adventures ever undertaken. To set out on a 7-month voyage halfway around the world to a spot that had only been visited once by Captain Cook for a few days 17 years before, well, that sounds a bit haphazard to me. Now, among the 1,400 people on board the ships, there were marines, crew, a few free settlers with wives and children, and the rest were prisoners, men, women and kids. It is remarkable that Captain Philip actually managed to take the convoy 15,000 miles across the Atlantic and the Indian and the Southern Oceans without losing a single ship. His skill was amazing. Without a map or a GPS, the fleet actually arrived at Botany Bay where it was supposed to get to in January 1788. And this, God bless it, is where that old chestnut of writing a good report comes into its own, because Botany Bay was nothing like the wonderful place described by Cook. It's a fly-infested, sandy bit of rubbish with very little fresh water. Sydney Airport's there now. Now, there must be something better than this, they said. And they set off round the corner, where they discovered, hey, there is Sydney Harbour, one of the wonders of the world, and correctly described by Captain Philip as the finest harbour in the world. 1,000 ships of line may ride in the most perfect security. So jump forward 200 years, and there we were, sitting on the north shore of Sydney Harbour in Taronga Zoo, overlooking this fantastic scene as they recreated the arrival of the first fleet on Australia's Day, the great bicentenary. It was a fabulous Aussie summer's day. A few clouds, delicious breeze, and everywhere you looked, boats, ships, craft of every size and shape. There weren't 1,000 there in the harbour. There were 10,000. More! There were just boats everywhere. And it didn't look crowded. Millions of people around the shore. And room for many, many more. The TVAM open air studio was set up and I painted the view as I waited for my bit on air. Back home in wet and drizzly Britain, there were crowds queuing outside Australia House on the Strand, wanting to emigrate to the land down under immediately. We described the scene, drinking it in. A Scottish reporter complained it was too hot and missed the drizzle. I enjoyed the day in the company of a pretty Aussie girl. We watched the amazing firework display, the river of fire cascading down from the harbour bridge, and the finale was the exploding arch that lifted into the night sky and took our breath away. It's quite rare, I think, to be an actual witness to what the rest of the world is watching on TV, so it was really magical to be there on Australia's greatest day. I must have been excited because I gave her my address and now she's Mrs. Mallet. But I have to say the other real highlight of the day was the arrival of the first fleet itself. Those fantastic tall ships with their giant masts and flags fluttering, sailing past the fire hydrant boats, spraying their fountains of water by the Opera House and the Harbour Bridge. Wow! I often wonder what Captain Philip would have made of the whole thing, especially as his flagship sailed into view, with all the sails furled apart from the glorious topsail, with a great banner proclaiming, well, not welcome to Australia, or happy bicentenary, or even good on you sport. Instead it said, drink Coke! So let's raise a glass of the fizzy stuff to memorable days in our lives.